Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Friday, Cleveland, and a happy Halloween. So it's holiday season. Holiday season's here. It's exciting. I mean, listen, when you got to get through the, final hour of taking your kids to trick-or-treat, you get back from trick-or-treating, we get to hang out and we get to talk about the Browns, we get to talk about the Cavs, we get to have great conversations. It's Jake Volnick with the guys here on Overtime from 7 to 11, running the board as well. You heard him on the 2020s, doing the work behind the glass, the Swiss Army knife for tonight. James Bridges with us. I don't know. This day of the year always brings up very odd conversations for me. Not that are like just genuinely weird, but people always seem to take a gripe with something that happens on Halloween. Either thinking trick-or-treating itself is dumb, or that dressing up in a costume is dumb, or something. I'm not a massive holiday person. I explained this earlier this week when we were talking to Michael during Change Your Mind. I don't have anything against holidays. I like getting together with my family usually. That's usually what I use the holidays for. I just don't think that anybody that takes a gripe with anything that happens on Halloween, I don't understand it. I'm not currently dressed up. You're not going to see me in the same clown get up that we saw Ken Carmen in this morning. Don't get me twisted here. But I still dress up for Halloween. I still go get dressed up. James, you're not dressed up right now. Would you get dressed up for Halloween? Are you anti-Halloween?
I am not anti-Halloween. I almost thought about texting you to say, should we have coordinated something, you know what I'm saying, to maybe get us some YouTube time. But, I think a lot of the holidays are for children and young people. So I think anybody who's bah humbug on Halloween when it's really just about community and giving people candy, something's wrong with you.
Yeah, I just don't get it. Again, I think in a lot of ways, yes, it's for the kids. I think we talk college kids and just young adults all dress up and they basically use it as an extended drinking holiday. I mean, that's practically what I use it for. Let's be realistic about it. It's an extended drinking holiday.
College at Halloween at college was a fun time.
Listen, I got dressed up yesterday. I thought it was fun. I'm getting dressed up on Saturday.
Now, what's your costume?
Yesterday I was... From Emperor's New Groove, I was Kronk, and my girlfriend was Yzma, which I think is a fun costume. And we completely basically DIY'd it. We DIY'd my entire costume. I mean, hers is basically DIY'd too, but there was less you can do DIY with Yzma. We just made my actual shirt from scratch with just two plain shirts. And girlfriend's more talented than I am, so actually she made my costume, which is pretty much my rule at this point. I explained this earlier too. I am all in on Halloween costumes. I just don't like to do the dramatic, I have to do a lot to actually get it done. I want a very basic one. Last year I was Beast Boy from Teen Titans, and all it took was wearing a purple shirt and sweatpants and spray painting my hair green.
So you wouldn't let your girl paint your face a white or mauve colored to be like the brownie elf? You wouldn't do that?
No, I'm gonna pass on that. Too much time sitting around. It might be fun. I would just go, I'd be like, you know what, I'll go as Brownie the Elf, but I'm just gonna skip out on that part.
No, I'm just gonna be me. You gotta fully commit.
No, can't go down that route. I don't know. Like, to me, there's no age, though, at any point. Like, people would be like, why are you dressing up? You're too old to dress up. I don't really think there's any an age where, like, I don't judge anybody if you want to go in costume. I don't judge anybody if you want to just go out there and have some fun. So I don't think there's anything wrong with it. My Saturday costume's a lot less fun, though. A lot less enjoyable. James, are you familiar with John Pork?
No.
It's a meme. That's all it is. You can look it up. All it is a meme. There's nothing bad to it. I'm John Pork on Saturday. I'm basically just a weird-looking pig. Okay, that's all it is. Okay? I mean, but it's easy. It's simple. All I got to do is put on a flannel and, you know, have a pig nose on for the rest of the night. It's very simple for me. But, like, I enjoy that. I think it's fun. Like, at this point, I just dress up for stupid things. I just try to find the dumbest costume I can and try to have a little bit of fun with it. But yeah, I don't think you should be judging anybody at this point for dressing up. Like, Ken Carmen coming in as a clown, I thought was absolutely hilarious.
That was funny.
It was about as good as it gets.
Did you see what it got in his eye before they started with Daryl? He had to run out for a few minutes because he couldn't see.
Yeah, I don't know. I was picturing just driving in today, had I been on the Cleveland streets at, like, before 5 in the morning, and you're just at a stoplight, half awake, and you look over and you see Ken Carmen dressed as a clown. That would be just absolute prime tier, just driving in Cleveland, because you'd look over and you're like, I have no words for this. Listen, it's 4:30 in the morning. You'd probably just assume he's drunk. That's probably what you would go with. But no, Ken's just having some fun going to do some radio. Definitely not influenced by anything else other than maybe some YouTube views. That might be the only thing.
How far would you go? Like, all right, makeup is out, but would you dye your hair? Would you paint your fingernails? Would you do some arm paint? Like, where do you draw the line as far as I'm not doing this for a costume?
It's got to be simple. Like, we did, like, the temporary spray paint hair last year, like, because my hair had to be green. So I did that. I think it was fine. As long as I don't have to sit down for, like, 45 minutes while you paint my face. If it's like 10 minutes or less, we can get this done. Yeah, sure, whatever.
So you're not actually going to dye your hair because you want to get this out in the next 2 days.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not going to dye my hair. Not going to go to those extents.
I got to figure out a bet to make with you to dye our hair for the loser. I got to figure that out. I got to figure something out. I'm going to think on that.
All right, we're going to think about it. In the meantime, I'll ask you guys to think a little bit more on the Cleveland Browns. Because I do want to start things here. Talking a little bit about quarterback. I mean, we're going to have quarterback conversations throughout the night. We're talking to Lance Risen like we do on every Friday coming up at 8 o'clock. Matt Verderam of Sports Illustrated going to be joining us at 9:20 as well. But in a lot of ways, I still feel that the conversation around the Browns quarterback right now has gone down the route of, well, if it wasn't Dylan Gabriel and if you threw Shedeur Sanders on there, maybe it looks better. As if we, once again, haven't just watched Joe Flacco and Dylan Gabriel stink up the room in quarterback play be one of the biggest issues. And I say this as a Shedeur supporter, right? As somebody who's been on the band, I feel like I have to basically emphasize this every time I talk about Shedeur and tell you guys that putting him in might not be the best decision, period, because then I get labeled as a Shedeur hater. And I've been basically thrown to either side, and the Wolves have just come out, no matter which way you are. It's like come out in defense of Shedeur, and then people are like, yeah, he's a fifth-round pick. And you come out and you say something that even borders the line of negative on Shedeur, and people are the exact opposite way. Well, you just don't want to see him succeed. I don't know what you see in Dylan Gabriel. Like, I'm a Shedeur supporter. I am. I want to see Shedeur take the field this year, but it feels like a lot of people right now are still convinced that putting Shedeur Sanders in truly changes what the offense looks like. Now, I think it looks different than it does with Dylan, and I've explained this. I think that you put Shedeur Sanders in the game, and there's a lot of things that you talk about, the constant dump-offs, and you talk about the fact that the ball's not going 10 yards through the air almost on any pass attempt that Dylan makes. Sure, that's going to change with Shedeur. Like, I do think there's a different level, almost just a bleep you mentality of, I'm back there, and even the best thing is to take care of the football. The natural instinct of playing quarterback takes over. And if I see something open, I'm going to make the throw. I think Shedeur has that just innate ability to him to say, okay, yeah, you might tell me to protect the football, and I'm going to attempt to do that. It's not like I'm making a conscious effort to go against your wishes if you're Kevin Stefanski, but I'm also the guy playing the position, and at some point I'm reading the field, and if I see a guy open, I'm going to throw that guy. I'm just going to make that throw, even if it is wrong, even if it leads to an interception, I default back to second nature. So I think it looks different. I don't think it's a one-to-one and you get the exact same type of play, because in a lot of ways, I feel like when you talk about Joe and you talk about Dylan, it's going to sound really negative, but they come out as more of yes men. right? It's guys who, if they're told to protect the football, if they're told not to turn the ball over, they answer that call. Like Joe, we talk about as being a gunslinger. When he was playing this year, looked anything but a gunslinger. And I think a lot of that was the message pounded into his head to, hey, Joe, we can't have turnovers this year, right? We might not be the most explosive offense, but we can't have turnovers this year. We have to rely on the defense. Joe answers. In a lot of ways, Dylan being a rookie quarterback and being the quarterback that he is, I think has answered that call. I don't think you get that with Shador, but there are other problems that come with playing Shador at quarterback, which are all the things that we've pointed pre-draft is the issues that lead is Shador is a player of the game. Which is, he's going to hold on to the ball too long in moments. There's going to be times where he thinks he can escape the pocket and thinks he can use his legs where it just does not work. And ultimately, I think the end product, the end result, while it might be more entertaining, probably looks pretty similar to what it is right now. Not a ton of guys open, not a ton of explosive plays for the Browns, not a ton of things working. And it's not necessarily all on the quarterback to change those things. Like, sure, do you want to go and put an elite quarterback in here? Does the offense look better? Of course it does. Right? You give me Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, any guy that you want in the league right now that is considered an elite quarterback. Of course the offense is going to look different. Of course it's going to look better. But you don't have the elite quarterback available to you. At least we don't. I don't think you do right now. I don't think that anybody that touches the field this year for the Browns is going to be playing to the level of elite. So, but I do feel that everybody is still convinced, despite having watched this team, despite having seen them go through multiple quarterbacks and watching Joe go play in Cincinnati and look like the same quarterback he did in 2023, that changing out just the player at the position for a different style of player is actually going to change how this offense looks. I don't think you really solve any of your problems right now. I don't think that those are just solved by making a change at quarterback. I think you clearly have other issues. Of the guys you have available to you, there is not a one-stop fix in my mind for this offense at all. You have to find something further than that. You have to be able to create something with the guys you have in the room, or, hey, by Tuesday, get a little active and add some pieces to this team. I get it that everybody looks at you and you say you should be sellers if you're trying to get this team back on track within, you know, we're talking about next year is really the timeline for Andrew Berry, that this team should at least be competitive and be fighting for a playoff spot by next season. Then you're not going to do that by taking away some of your best players, unless it's, you know, there's obviously guys on like 1 year deals. Yes, you can move off of somebody like Shelby Harris, but you're not going to get any better by moving off of somebody like Miles. You're not going to get any better by moving off of David Njoku or Wyatt Teller. I really don't think that improves this team to a level that people find that it does. If you're trying to be successful this year and build future success, you go out and you get some of the wide receivers that are available that you can sign to contracts or have already inked contracts. Obviously, you know, we talk about guys like Garrett Wilson. I think, you know, not to stay Ohio State, but Chris Olave is another name that pops into mind. Maybe the Saints don't really want to hold on to Olave. Doesn't not fit their timeline, but does it directly fit their timeline? There's a lot of different ways to improve this team that just doesn't ride on. Look at the quarterback, and Shador fixes your problems. And it's a lot of the reason why, while I'm excited to see Shador play this year, my expectations already start out really low, and I'm not just clamoring for him to play this week. Do I think Dylan's done enough to be benched at this point? Yeah, probably. Like, if you went to Shador, I wouldn't have been confused by it. I would have understood it. But it's not like he just goes in and solves all of your problems. The problems do feel deeper than that. They do feel like there's a lot more to focus on here than just the quarterback spot that actually makes this team in any way better. You just don't know that changing your quarterback makes you better rather than just a different kind of bad. 216-474-0092. Do you truly feel like Shador Sanders would fix this offense in any way? You can also get to me on X, at Volnick Jake, V-U-L-I-N-E-C, Jake, so we can do our social media reactions powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Plenty of good stuff coming up for you guys tonight. We have the Station Buzz coming your way here at 7:40. We're going to talk to Coach Riz, Lance Risen, Cleveland.com, like we do every Friday, coming up here at 8 o'clock. Get a Grips at 9. Matt Verderam, Sports Illustrated, joining us at 9:20. We're going to ask him about the way he sees it from an outside view, from a national view, the Browns quarterback spot as well. Questions from Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski. Again, that's coming your way at 9:20. We react to the Cavs. We have Change Your Mind later on in the show as well with James Bridges. But right now, 216-474-0092. Do you truthfully feel that going to Shador fixes this offense in any way right now? We're going to get to your guys' calls on this. Eric, I see on the line, as well as all of you guys. 216-474-0092. That and more on the quarterback spot for the Browns coming in 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volnick. With you guys here until...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
11 on the Fan. Jake Volnick with the guys here on Overtime, asking you at 216-474-0092. Do you truly feel like Shador Sanders would fix the Browns offense in any way? It's just a lot of people, I think, really upset by the idea that Kevin named Dylan the starter going against the Jets. Again,
I mean, I don't know they had to do it immediately after the loss. I don't know that
I mean, absolute beating the Browns took on Sunday shouldn't have at least gave you a little pause for thought of maybe not do this thing right now, but it was the expected result. Like, this was never just going to be four games of Dylan Gabriel and, all right, we've seen enough on to Shador. Like, and are they doing the right things to develop Dylan and actually see things? And is Dylan doing everything in his power to make it feel like he's getting a true evaluation? Yeah, probably not. But the leash was always going to be longer. He was a third-round pick. He was a guy that, you know, was basically first up, especially when we talk about rookies. He was the rookie that they made sure they went out and drafted and they had on the team. He was going to get a longer leash no matter how it looked. But I haven't seen anything to say that you just take the quarterback play and do what you think is an improvement to it, even though, you know, based on draft position, it would in theory be a downgrade, but we all know how we feel about that. I just don't think that that's a logical next step, unless you're replacing him with an already elite quarterback, which I don't think Shador is. Is there potential to get there? Sure, but is he that right now? I would say no. I really don't think it solves anything. I don't think that you're fixing any problems right now. So I feel like going to Shador, for fans, in a lot of ways, is let me see what's next. Let me get excited for what potential could be. But it's probably going to be met by disappointment based on the way the team looks right now. I just don't see why that should be the next logical step. You still got a lot of games to go through. You still have half a season, more than half a season, if you're the Browns to play through right now, 9 games remaining. Like, you go to Shador, and let's say it doesn't look good. Guys got nowhere else to turn.
Like, you're either going then, if it just looks so bad, I mean, after five games, six games with Shador, you're talking about putting the man who shall not be named back onto the field, or you're turning it over to Bailey Zappe, and I think we all know how that experiment ends too. Like, it doesn't help anybody actually feel better about where the Browns are at right now.
How would you feel if, as a way for them to confirm to you and fans that Shador is not ready, that they did start who shall not be named? Like, what if Dylan gets 3-4 more games? And then, you know, we're completely out of the playoffs. We're really just playing for draft positioning. He doesn't want to throw Shador in there to completely crush his confidence because the offense is terrible. We're going to put a guy who needs to have some tape out there to hopefully find another job somewhere else.
I would absolutely hate it. I mean, I think it'd be the worst decision. Like, you drafted the quarterback for a reason. Well, I don't think it looks better with Shador. You might as well give the kid a chance to prove you something, right? Let's say he is just an elite quarterback and goes out and proves it. Again, I don't think it is, but maybe he goes out there and he just turns into a gamer and he goes out and he surprises you. Drafted him for a reason. Like, he might be a fifth-round pick, but while you're trying to solve the quarterback spot, you give the guy an opportunity that could solve the quarterback spot. Because without seeing Shador, still drafting a quarterback next year, as long as I get one that falls into my lap that I like, which, based on where you are draft positioning-wise, God, I hope would be the case. Like, even if you have to move him up, I don't know, 10 spots from where you thought, you still take the quarterback wherever you end up. You just go, okay, yeah, we're going to allow this to happen, right? Some point in the first round, whether it's the Jaguars pick or the Browns pick, there has to be a quarterback that you have to like that is on the board. Like, there's no way there's not going to be. So, not passing on that guy to go, oh, well, maybe the idea of Shador, we really do like him. Maybe this sort of, like, I can't go down that route. So I have to see him this year, no matter how bad it looks. Again, I just don't know that it's a real solve. Again, 216-474-0092. Do you truly feel like Shador Sanders would fix this offense in any way? Let's go out to the phones. Eric is in Akron. What's going on, Eric?
Hey, how's it going?
It's going pretty good, man.
I think you just made the perfect argument against Kevin Stefanski.
How so? Yeah.
The reason for that is because one of the big knocks on Dylan Gabriel, and I'm not defending Gabriel, I don't think he's good, is that he doesn't push the ball down the field. Well, that's been a constant thing, going back to Baker, going back to Watson, going back to almost anybody besides a short glimpse of Joe Flacco. Yeah. I think it's more playbook. Is not going to change anything. Like, you drop Shador in, you still got Stefanski calling the plays, you still got this generic Bill Walsh offense that we're running. Like, we have to do better. Like, you made a perfect argument why we need a total regime change, because there's no talent on this football team, and our offensive coach can't put together an offense.
Well, I think, Eric, on the other side of it, and I appreciate the call, I think on the other side of that is, like, there is talent on this football team. It just so happens that 98% of it resides on the defense. Like, I don't even know that this is an argument against Stefanski. And you guys know I'm not beholden to Stefanski at this point. Like, I'm not going to come out here and pound the table and say Stefanski should have a job next year. I'm not going to encourage the fact that he should be fired. But if you fire him, I get it. If you keep him, well, I'm not going to say I agree with it, but I also get it. Right? Like, you handed it over and you wanted to keep him. You don't necessarily think this is a Stefanski thing. Like, through and through. I don't think it's all on Stefanski. I think a lot of this, like, you bring up, we've had the same problems with Baker. I don't think you really had the problems of extending the ball down the field with Baker outside of the offense is generally slated not to push the ball down the field as much. Like, yes, that is part of the Stefanski scheme a little bit, but it's not the entire thing. Like, we saw Baker extend the ball when it was necessary. We saw Baker dial up shots and plenty of them while he was here. I think a lot of the things that went wrong, hey, while Baker was the quarterback in the offense, had nothing to do with throwing the ball down the field enough. It had a problem to do with being accurate when you were throwing the ball down the field, which Baker obviously was up and down in terms of he looks really good at times and then he looked not so great at times. But I don't think that's inherently, like, built into the offense that you can't dial up those shots. Like, we saw Joe run the same offense and dial up the shots.
Remember a couple years ago they played the Titans and it was a play-action pass deep throw to Donovan Peoples-Jones. Do we remember that game? We've seen this offense have some explosive moments, even at times where we've wondered why aren't we running the ball or doing other things. So I think Stefanski is very handcuffed with the talent, and I think he understands that I don't have a line that can withstand for 4 seconds to really give my guys time to go run a route. I don't have this kind of talent to be able to run these sophisticated route trees to create some more opportunities for my receivers. I don't have veteran wide receivers who've been in the league for 2-3 seasons to understand that, oh, the last time I played this guy, I remember he kept leaning to the left so I could do this one thing. So I think with all those different factors factoring in that are negatives, it gets very hard to scheme up an offense for just players who, A, may not be ready to play today or just aren't good enough.
Yeah, and I think you also look at like the concepts they're running. Just because Dylan finds a way to dump the ball off every single time, right? Like, and I'm not saying he does it every time, but we all know it's a lot. Like, it's a lot of dump offs. It's a lot of short routes.
You're fair enough to say that because his average distance of target is under like 6 yards.
Yeah, it's bad. But like, he continues to find the dump off. He continues to take the short crossing route. It's not like the Browns are running 3 screens and 2 crosses, and it's like, here, Dylan, take your pick. Like, they're running levels concepts with guys 25 yards down the field, 15 yards down the field, and then, yes, your short crosser, almost every play that you run in the NFL is going to have a guy on a short route or a check down available to you. It's the fact that Dylan keeps taking them. And I think it's a combination of errors. Is it partially the message in Dylan's head? Probably, because I saw it with Joe. Is it partially Dylan not being able to read the field well enough? Probably part of that. Is it the offensive line where you can't take those deep shots? The run game not being strong enough to the point where I can play off of play action so much. And teams are just thinking, well, got to stop Quinshon here because he's torn us up all game long. Now the deep shot's a little bit more open and the team's more susceptible to that. There's a million different things that factor into it that I'm sure some lies on Kevin and some lies on Dylan.
Never underestimate the fact that he was on the sideline those first 3-4 games. He saw what that offensive line, he saw those wide receivers, he saw the tight ends. He knows what this offense looks like. So even before you even have to step on the field, you have your own preconceived notions on, well, when I get out there, I have to be able to do X, Y, Z because I know I don't have that time for what I was watching. So even beyond all the other stuff, he probably is trying to figure out, how do I just not let it be a disaster when I get out there so I don't lose my job?
Yeah, I mean, part of it's holding on to your job. And I think part of Dylan holding on to his job, especially when we talk about over the next couple of weeks, is going to be finding that next level of stuff, is going to be extending the ball down the field and finding a way for it to be successful. But the offense is a plethora of problems. Like, that's my case here. It's not really a case fully against Stefanski. I'm not saying it's not Kevin, but it's not entirely Kevin. There's also a severe talent problem on the offense. Like, you have to find a way to make that difference, too. Again, 216-474-0092. Let's go back out to the phones. Greg is in Akron. What's going on, Greg?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Nothing much, man. Happy Halloween to you.
Thanks, you too.
Appreciate it. What do you got?
So these are two of the main problems with the Browns right now. For one, they lead the league in drops. That's not a good thing. And here's another thing. I've never liked Stefanski. His sets. He's been running these double tight end sets, if not triple, ever since my grandma's grandma was alive. Everyone knows it's coming. And not only that, you know, you complain about not getting it down the field, right? Well, you put a 250-pound man on the field instead of a 200-pound man. Do they move side to side better? Do they run faster? Are they more agile? Do they have better acceleration or do they have worse acceleration? The sets are just, he's a 1970s coach. He's not a current coach.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
DSW. birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Well, this is the crazy thing too, Greg, and I appreciate the call, is like, part of what we're seeing out of Kevin is basically the exact opposite of what he was here. Like, I know that people call this offense boring, it's become stale, and it has at this point, but when Kevin got here, it was an innovative, an aggressive play caller. Like, we've taken a massive step back from where Kevin was when he came here in the problems we had with him to where it is now. And I think a lot of us forget the early Kevin, and it was like, well, he's being so aggressive. And I'm not saying he was just, you know, tossing the ball down the field every single time, but he would go forward on fourth. He would take a couple of shot plays, and it's like, you don't always need that. And Kevin felt like there was a lot of innovation there. Like, I think back to, we're talking, you know, OBJ being open from a pass from Jarvis Landry against the Jets on Thursday Night Football. It's like, okay, like, that's innovative. There was gimmicky plays that happened to work, but Kevin got innovative like that. And I think you saw him try to be, you know, in ways where he probably shouldn't have been innovative, but try to be innovative against the Patriots. We talked about trying to set up a double pass. We talked about a flea flicker play where Quinshon flipped it back to Dylan Gabriel. It's like, yeah, I don't know that that's working right now in this offense and this offensive line. But like, you see him try to be innovative. You see him try to go to different things. I don't necessarily think it's just inherently boring either. Again, a lot of it draws back to a talent problem for me. Like, it really does. I just don't think you have a lot here, which is why I look at this trade deadline and I tell you, go get something, because, and I'll throw out to you guys at 216-474-0092, because I'm going to tell you that the Browns need a playmaker, but would a better quarterback or a top tier playmaker, a wide receiver one, help the Browns offense more right now? And I think it's a no doubt question. Like, to me, it is the playmaker. You go get a wide receiver one. I'm not saying it fixes this offense, but it surely helps. And I think in a lot of ways, like, Joe Flacco is the key example. In fact, Nick Shook, NFL.com, was on yesterday on the station and had tossed out how much a wide receiver one really would change how this offense looks.
This is essentially the Joe Flacco experiment, right? You're thinking, okay, let's put Ja'Marr Chase on this roster. The Browns could have done the same thing the Bengals did with Joe Flacco and Ja'Marr Chase. And, you know, I would subscribe to that notion to a degree. I also don't know if that is necessarily the most the smartest thing to consider with this team right now. They're in a position where they have amassed a good amount of draft capital and they are building for the future. If you want the immediate return, yes, a star receiver would I think elevate this offense, and no matter who's playing quarterback, I think that's true for most any team. But is it, you know, first, those aren't really available without giving up a lot, and I don't think the Browns are in the position to make a deal like that. I could put that on the plate of the Buffalo Bills, even maybe the Baltimore Ravens, but not the Browns.
So, I think that where the Browns are at right now, where Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski stand, you're not talking about a large portion of time that you have to prove yourself. You're not talking about, sure, they might be building for the future, but it's a lot more the immediate future than, oh, this team's trying to be good 3 years from now. There's a lot of teams that build for 3 years in the future. The Browns are not trying to build 3 years later. They're trying to build for next year and the season after. That is where they're trying to get back on track. So I do think a star playmaker should be on the table. I do think going out and getting somebody like that does help you. I don't necessarily think that it's just
he can't go for it, but a playmaker helps you out a ton. Free up Jerry Jeudy to be a wide receiver too. Maybe take some attention off of just being able to stack eight guys in the box and stop the run. Sure, quarterback helps you. Getting better quarterback play does help, but I think you just add talent playmakers to this team. You talk about a lot of attention being drawn away and a lot of things opening up for quarterbacks who just quite frankly need it. 216-474-0092. Would a better quarterback or a top-tier playmaker help the Browns offense out more right now? We're going to get to more of your guys' calls on this as well. The Station Buzz in 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volnick right here on The Fan. Jake Volnick with the guys on The Fan. Coming up here in about 17 minutes, we're going to get to Lance Reisland of Cleveland.com. Going to be joining us. We'll get his thoughts, quarterback spot, a lot of other things surrounding this team. When we talk to him again, coming up here at 8 o'clock, we have the Station Buzz coming in just a couple of minutes. But I was asking guys at 216-474-0092, would a better quarterback or another playmaker be more impactful for the Browns offense right now? And again, to me, it's pretty clear cut. Like, the playmaker does everything for you. It opens up everything else. You just need to find a way to add talent to this team. And by the way, like, I understand that the quarterback's not coming this year, a better quarterback, unless, you know, Shador is just better and gives you a better opportunity. It's the only way that you're really finding it. Like, the playmaker's fully available to you. You can go and get a playmaker by Tuesday. Like, it's on the table. You're going to have to give up some draft capital. You're going to have to go get something. I don't think Garrett Wilson's legitimately on the table, but if he was, like, Garrett Wilson's a guy who could be on the table and would certainly help you out. I think guys like Chris Olave could be on the table and could certainly help you out. There's playmakers available. You got to go actually pay the money, probably extend that guy, give him a contract, give away draft capital. But do I want Andrew Berry, who's more than likely going to be here next year, trying to find me a wide receiver in the draft and try to evaluate a talented wide receiver? Would I rather just have one that's proven already good and just go, let's just stick him in the offense? Like, again, go get it. And you think the offense, it might not look great this year still. I think there's still a lot of things you have to fix, but it's definitely a start. There is a clear avenue to getting better this season. You just do it. It's not going to be through the quarterback play next year. If you stuck a quarterback, a first-round draft pick, right into this offense, even if he's a good quarterback, you're still going to have the exact same problems that you have right now. Guys not getting open, not being able to extend the ball down the field all that often. You're just going to have to do it through just acquiring talent through this team to actually get your quarterback to throw the ball to somebody. Again, 216-474-0092. Let's go up to the phones real quick here. Gene in Akron. What's going on, Gene?
Hey, what's happening?
Nothing much, man. What do you got?
Well, I was just going to say, you know, I think everybody missed the boat on this quarterback thing. I don't think they drafted for a starter. They brought Joe in, and that didn't work. But they, you know, that so they give the rookies a chance. So we see that Dylan Gabriel can run offense. It's not explosive, but he can run it. So, you know, you could put Tom Brady behind center in this offense, and we wouldn't be any better off because he has nobody to throw to. And this is where we need to improve. We need to improve on the receiving end of it. And then, yeah, we need a quarterback that can throw to him. But the receivers, I think, is the big problem. And, you know, I really think that they should go after some Ohio State players to fill that. All right, that's all.
Yeah, Gene, I appreciate the call. I mean, I think, obviously, you know, we put attention on Ohio State receivers. I think there's definitely guys that you've gone through and have seen. And, I mean, I named two of them as guys who are available to you that are already in the league, and Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave. I mean, I think there's guys, you talk about Carnell Tate, likely to be a first-round pick as well, definitely a guy that you can look at. I mean, this is just an opportunity to actually improve the offense. Like, there is a way, even if it's not this year, it is more about talent right now than it is about the quarterback position. You just have to find ways to make this offense more explosive. And listen, I don't agree that it looks the same under Tom Brady. If Tom Brady was the quarterback, you'd look better, but in still a lot of ways, you just end up with the same problems. Like, you just need to have more talent here. And I think, you know, Kevin's offense definitely has its flaws right now. There's definitely things not working for Kevin. I also think that he can hide a lot of the issues right now, or I don't even want to say hide. I could just say fix a lot of the issues right now by simply turning things to very quickly allow Kevin to see more playmakers on this team, to allow guys that he can work with, that he can get the ball to. And I think the offense, part of those problems go away. It's not a perfect scheme right now. It's not working, but certainly by adding more talent, he actually do fix part of what's wrong with Kevin's offense. It shouldn't be going short every time, or even if it is going short, you have more guys to make plays off of those, you know, short designs. Again, 216-474-0092. Would a better quarterback or another playmaker help out the Browns more? Larry is in Elyria. What's going on, Larry?
Oh, man. Hey, I was doing, I tell you, I'd like to play GM here for a while. It's pretty good to worry about, you know, getting fired or anything, but I'd definitely like to collect the money, man, if possible.
It'd be real nice.
Yes, it would. I tell you, Jake, you mentioned player quarterback. To me, I watch these quarterbacks. Everybody mentioned before the season started in college, these diamond quarterbacks. I don't see it. The Mendoza kid from Indiana, I think. I mean, I don't know, Jake. It's hard to say. But besides that, there's nothing out there. The playmaker I like is Carnell Tate, the Buckeyes.
Yeah.
Then, like I said, another one of those guys. But also, the offensive line helped a little bit because all your offensive line, basically, your contracts are up.
Yeah. And that's definitely big, Larry. No, I mean, I think offensive line, a lot of people point to it. I mean, I don't know how great the offensive line is going to be next year because you're right, you're losing five out of five guys probably unless you're going to extend one.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to have to find some help, but it's not going to be the end-all be-all for this team. Like, they're going to struggle next year, but you're going to have to find ways around it.
Hey, Jake, you mentioned what we need a lot in the next couple of years.
Yeah.
The Jacksonville pick, I don't know what happened to it. If they start faltering or what happens to it. Would you take some of those picks the following year? You know where I'm going with this. Number four for the Ohio State Buckeyes in 27. Would that be a consideration? You think you try to think outside the box?
I mean, listen, if I could get him, and Larry, I appreciate the call. If I could get Jeremiah Smith in any way that I could, guys, there's a really good chance that you're talking about 2027. The first round picks, or the very first pick off the board, is probably just Jeremiah Smith. And if anybody has the number one pick, they're probably not moving it because they look at Jeremiah Smith and they're like, if we can be the number one pick, yeah, no, thank you. Like, you could offer me, you could have three firsts in 2027. I'd probably go, I think I'll just take Jeremiah and I'll move on from here. Like, I'll take the elite wide receiver and we'll try to build around that. I don't think you're being able to trade for that. But I do think, like, again, like, Carnell Tate's a good piece. The quarterbacks are definitely a worry right now. I just think that you're going to have to find a way to make it work. You are. All right, real quick, let's get to a shortened version. The most pressing thing said by our station's guest today. Let's do it with the station buzz. All right, let's start things off. Cavs just getting into action against the Raptors tonight. But Chris Fedor, Cleveland.com on Afternoon Drive earlier today and answered the question of whether or not the Cavs have enough, what's going to be framed as MFers, but basically guys with the right kind of mentality, just dogs.
Point blank, no. I was having a conversation with somebody in the NBA before the Boston game, and we started the conversation on the court during pregame warmups, and then we took it back to our media meal as well. And, you know, he was asking me a little bit about the Cavs locker room dynamics and who's the a-hole and who's the MFer and who's the one who's going to stir things up. And, you know, I brought up Max Strus. I brought up Donovan Mitchell at various points, and he was like, well, it probably can't be either one of those guys. And I said, well, what do you mean by that? And he was like, well, it's got to be somebody with a little bit more of an enforcer. So I think one of the questions that people around the NBA outside of Cleveland have about the Cavs is, do they have enough, quote-unquote, dog in them?
So I don't know that, and I think I agree with Chris that maybe there's not enough guys like that mentality on this team. I do think, though, like, a very underrated name that just wasn't brought up there is Jalen Tyson. Like, I get it. He's young. He deals with foul trouble. There's definitely times where I think Jalen Tyson gets on the floor and maybe tries to do a little bit too much, a little bit outside of himself. You want to talk about a guy that plays tough on defense, that will be in your face and trying to be that type of guy? I think Tyson works that way a lot, and we're getting to see him a lot more early this year. Partially due to, you know, Max Strus is hurt. Partially due to the fact that Darius isn't out there and there's going to be an open spot in the lineup every night. I also think there's clearly a trust in Jalen Tyson, because every time somebody's down, they're not looking to Dean Wade to stick into the starting lineup. They're not going in and picking, you know, somebody else. They're not trying to get Lonzo into the starting lineup. It's constantly Jalen Tyson just to fill the role. And they're like, okay, well, if we got a three out, we'll go to Tyson. If we got a two out, we'll go to Tyson. I'd be questioning, if Evan Mobley wasn't playing, might they just go to Jalen Tyson? Might they just say, ah, DeAndre, he can play the four. Let's just get Jalen Tyson in the lineup. Like, it really does feel that he can be that type of guy, and they like the mentality there. I think that's an underrated name to watch. Going back to the Browns, Jimmy Watkins, also Cleveland.com on today with Baskin and Phelps, and talked about the Browns quarterback room and the lack of a veteran presence.
You had a plan for four quarterbacks. Two of them are gone. You're trading those guys. That signals to me some level of confidence that Dylan Gabriel and or Shedeur Sanders are ready to do more than hold a clipboard, right? Dylan Gabriel, by trading Kenny Pickett in the first place, you're signaling confidence that Dylan Gabriel, if need be, can start football games for you in the event that Joe Flacco gets hurt or plays poorly enough over the first 4 weeks, which is what happened, where you feel like you need to make a change. We haven't seen that, Barra. And then Shedeur Sanders, when you trade Joe Flacco, you're signaling sort of the same thing. Like, okay, we think Dylan's ready to maybe put a spark in the offense. And if something happens to Dylan, your backup's only one step away. We think Shedeur can, you know, be our break glass in case of emergency guy. But Kevin Stankey says before the bye, yeah, Dylan will be the starter after the bye. I just don't see how you can say that with such confidence. And I don't know how you can trade these two veteran starting quarterbacks with such confidence when clearly the rookies don't seem to be ready. Like, doesn't it feel like now would be the time to insert a Kenny Pickett or a Joe Flacco type presence into the offense? Doesn't it?
I mean, listen, you can talk about whether or not a veteran would help this team on the field. I think when we talk about the quarterback room in general, I kind of hate the conversation of, oh, well, there's not a veteran presence that's a player in that room. Like, yeah, I value a veteran in the room to be a guy that's alongside of them doing the same job that's also been there. We also talk about Kevin Stefanski supposed to be a quarterback guru. That should be a veteran presence in itself. Talk about a quarterback coach. That should be a veteran presence. Your offensive coordinator should be, you know, more veteran presence for the quarterbacks to turn to. You can make young quarterback rooms work, and they can look just fine. It doesn't have to be a 40-year-old guy in the room or a five-year vet sitting in the room. It can be just young quarterbacks out there with also your coaches to lead them and show them the way. You think it's an overrated aspect of it, and we talk about it only in the quarterback room and practically never anywhere else in the NFL. It's like your running back room doesn't have a veteran presence. Nobody's stomping around going, how did this happen? How is Quinshon Judkins going to be successful? Because they don't have a 35-year-old running back to help him out and show him the way. Because he's going to get the ball into his hands. He's going to run hard. That's how he's going to be successful. All right, that'll do it for the shortened version of the Station Buzz. When we come on back here in about 5 minutes, Lance Reisland, Cleveland.com, answers everything pressing surrounding.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.